family-wise, you're
yeah.
And so Thunder Hills.
Once we got to where Sarah was going to enter kindergarten, we decided we got to get out here, and that was in the 80s when the you know, they were laying off teachers. Today in the paper, they can't find enough teachers.
That's a whole nother story.
And so Harold was cross street. We looked at this lot. It didn't look like he could build on it, but turned out to be a slice of heaven for us.
Yep.
And kids all went to West Dubuque and got a great education and met some wonderful family and friends. And there we go. It was tough to adjust. I remember her first day, or this was her first year, and school got out early. And of course, I had to stay an extra 2 hours, and we forgot. And poor Sarah got off the bus, and she's sitting on the front porch, crying, and one of the neighbors, thank God, you know, came over and... Because, you know, there was no electronic door openers or anything, yeah. And what a fast.
That was, oh my God.
And the most nervous I ever was at school was when Sarah got to high school. And I was more nervous than her. And I had her first period, first day.
Okay.
And she walks in and with her friends and... We're going around the room, and I said, okay, what's your name, and what's your name, and then a couple of them might say, what's my name, and then I got to her, and they all looked at her, and I said, what's my name, and I didn't know what she would say,
yeah.
And she said, Mr. Danner.
Okay. Oh my gosh, that's funny.
That was funny, and... After that, it was no problem. They're yeah, just another kid at school.
So that was what? what year? Drew was youngest. What year did he graduate?
I don't know.
Okay.
2006, maybe.
Yeah.
7. 10.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah. You want me to find that out?
No.
And Drew, of course, wrestled, which was one of the biggest things I got to do was to coach my own son.
Yeah.
I can think of my own father getting to coach me and, you know, and memories and tough things going on. And
Lots of great memories of being involved with wrestling meets and football games and, you know, people you get connected to and things that happen, humorous and otherwise. Mm-hmm. I remember you guys went to a wrestling meet up in Cresco one year, ran into some bad weather, right?
Yeah. Well, we didn't even take a bus. We took 3 vans. I drove, Tom Kilberg drove. And Doherty.
Jim?
Jim. And I don't know how he drove. Maybe he drove the cheerleaders. I don't know. I can't remember. And we got up there. That's back when it was an all-day thing. They took the coaches out for supper between the second and final round. It's okay. A fancy restaurant. It was a big deal. And yeah, we got up there, and the announcer goes, just want to tell you, it's storming out there. And of course, nobody's going to leave. It's the finals. And there was no TV competition or anything back then. And then he gets into halfway through the finals. He says, nobody is leaving this gym. You are all going to stay in this gym. Well, of course, most everybody goes. And... we didn't have a lot of people following us back then. It's, you know, they didn't.
Long ways up there.
It's a long ways, and they had, you know, there was a lot of kids farming, and So I know half the teams left. They all made it home. But about half of us stayed. And, yeah, that was a long night. Yeah. They ordered pizza in, and we stayed overnight, slept on the mats, which was very uncomfortable. I think the kids played a few tricks on Coach Kilberg and I, if I remember right. And the next morning we wake up, and they said, "You're not leaving." And Coach said, "There's a window," because the storm was still going on. But
yeah.
And we drove through some big snow banks.
Jeez.
And we got home. And I don't think we went to school one day that week, I think. Monday and Tuesday were off. Wednesday, I think we went.
After Christmas at that time?
Yes.
Yeah.
After Christmas. I think we had a late start on Wednesday and an early out. And then Thursday and Friday were off.
Okay.
That was a big snowstorm of 80-something.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember distinctly that circumstance. Well,
you know, and that's a tough decision. You can't get caught in a snowbank either with
right.
some kids, and you know, they trust your children with you, and we probably never would have made it with a bus. I'm sure of that.
Yeah.
And Riceville, which was 30 miles up the road or whatever, they stayed another day.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Tom and I had some great adventures and memories. And
yeah.
I was lucky enough to coach football with them at the freshman level, and then as his assistant coach. God, we had some great kids to work with. And
so how many years total as far as wrestling did you put in? You did, then you were head wrestling, right?
Head wrestling coach for 6 years after Tom left.
Right.
And retired. And I enjoyed that a lot, you know.
Right.
Took what he did, added my own flavor to it, and we had a great run there, too.
Sure. Wound up with some state champions that era?
First year, Kevin Kleesner.
Yeah.
Michael Schimmel was our first state champion.
I was there for that one.
Yes. I remember Michael recruiting him. He was sitting in the back of my ninth grade class.
Okay.
And he said, "Well, you should wrestle." And he said, "Oh, I don't want to." And or something like that. And we got him out, and he struggled at first, you know. And obviously it turned out pretty darn good.
Yeah.
And we came home that night, I think, after the state tournament, and the crowd was pretty minimal.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, our first years of wrestling, sometimes the coaches would be the only ones there, maybe the parents too, obviously, sometimes. Mm-hmm. Because transportation was totally different back then.
Yeah.
And we came home that night, and I think you realized coming home at 2 in the morning after is pretty tough. So
yeah.
Now they, I think since then, if we get a kid in the finals, we stay overnight.
Right, yep.
And I think we stay overnight anyway now.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just a safety thing.
Exactly.
Because it is pretty physically demanding.
Yep.
As well as mentally.
Yep. Know. Yes, indeed.
But now it's in Wells Fargo, which is pretty fancy place.
Yeah.
Compared to the barn. But there was something about the barn.
Yeah, there was, wasn't there?
It was roped off. It was sand on the mats from people walking. Coming from downstairs and up and fighting the crowd to get to the mat. And then the fans just loved it. They would, okay, West Dubuque on mat 3, and they'd all be on mat 6, and it would just be like a herd of buffalo running down there. And you could almost hit the ref on the back. In fact, you could. You could get right next to the mat in the aisles. And you know, now today at the Wells Fargo, you said, that's it. But back then it was wide open.
I know, that was my first experience at the volleyball. tournament, the state tournament in Cedar Rapids. What a great facility. I mean,
yeah.
You know, they talk about what they want to do for Five Flags in there. That's a joke to even consider adding on to that. If they could take a build a facility like the Cellular Center in Cedar Rapids, that's what they need. Mm-hmm. Someplace out on the new arterial or wherever, but
whatever. Or let the private sector build it.
Exactly, yeah. Anyway, so hey, thanks for the visit on getting it together. This is the 9th of December for posterity's sake, 2019, and we had some great times together, Tom, over the years.
Yes.
In different ways.
Hallway supervision.
Yeah. Social experiences after meets and games, and
we had fun groups. I think back then, you know, teachers didn't make a lot of money, and your social life had to be with your fellow teachers, because you couldn't do what other people were doing. You know, I remember supervising the lunchroom, and I was the only guy in there for two of the three periods.
Yeah.
And the seniors at that time could still go to the Bobcat.
Oh, yeah.
But those lunchrooms were shoulder to shoulder packed. God, that was probably the worst duty I ever had. And kids were pretty good, really, but...
I don't know
how they didn't end up in more more conflicts and things.
On the other hand, I do recall the, the fun... time we had with the morning experience of payday when you brought the donuts out.
Yeah.
We had the top 10.
And there was so many things we did as a community here. I can remember when the lottery, Illinois had the lottery.
Okay.
And I would go around and collect the dollar from most of the faculty, and they all have their own lottery numbers, and we'd go over, Tom Beery and I would go over, stand in line. You know, it wasn't like today where you just walk up and get one. You had to stand in line to get the lottery tickets, and then I'd bring them back and go to each door, give them to them.
So how about when Greyhound Racing came in? Mm. That was a fun thing for us, I think. I remember going a lot of times.
Yeah, a lot of faculty. We had a couple bus trips to the East Dubuque Casino.
Oh, that's right.
The riverboat or whatever it was called. They'd pick us up at school, and it was a social outing.
Susie had a big score one night at the blackjack tables, I recall.
There on the boat?
Yeah.
And you had to pay to get on the boat.
Can you imagine that? I mean, I've talked about that so many times to people where we actually paid. My God.
And then Illinois, I think they would... buy you dinner, I think, then, but you had to have a minimum. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Lots of good stuff.
I remember coming from the annex, coming down. They didn't have enough desks. And so my first year in the classroom, we had banquet tables with folding chairs.
Really?
And so the tables were lined up parallel to each other with the chairs, and of course, you can imagine the noise and sitting right on top of each other, and there were just some things, but facility-wise, changed.
Thanks, Tom.
Well, we should talk about student council.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So, I think you kind of got me into that, didn't you? They needed a prom supervisor.
As I recall, I started the leadership course.
Yes, you did.
And a couple of, maybe 3 years before I retired, something like that. So then you transitioned into
What happened there? You became the...
moderator or...
yeah, but...
advisor or whatever.
Ziesmer was the principal and they brought in... had you retired?
No. Well...
what happened there?
Well, as far as a little background, student council, okay. This was probably maybe early 90s. And Harold called me into the office one day and Don Offerman had been the moderator for student council, and somehow he felt that was too demanding of his time, and so I wound up taking the student council from that point on. Well, then we got to block scheduling, and I always remember how frustrating it was for the kids in student council to try to have a project or have a meeting and not having enough time, and so that got me going with the leadership class, and we started that.
Which was a great idea.
So
then you retired.
01, yeah.
And they brought in Walters?
Yeah, Phil Walters.
Okay, and Ziesmer was the principal.
Yeah.
And Ziesmer said he didn't want Walters to have to deal with student council.
Oh, really?
And leadership.
Okay.
He said, would you take it? I said, what? You know, because I had football and wrestling and...
Okay.
You know, I'm thinking, I need another thing on my plate. And I'd been the prom advisor,
okay,
which is another story, because when we moved to the high school from the annex, along came the contract. What's that called? There's a term for the contract that was different.
Oh, you mean when the teachers got...
what was it?
Collective bargaining
yes. Contract or something.
Yes.
You know, and I have no idea. I'm just happy to have a job. And one of the kids comes up and knocks on the door and says, Mr. Danner, will you be prom advisor? And I said, what? I don't even think I went to prom. And, you know, it's tough to say no.
Mm.
And you probably sent her down. I don't know. I said, okay. Well, then I went into the faculty room, and it was like I just crapped on my neighbor here. Don't say that, but you know, I didn't know they had dropped the prom advisor being paid.
Oh, okay.
And it was like I was a strike breaker. So I did that almost my entire career, and then leadership. I really think that was a great thing for me, that they asked. And of course he said, well, you'll have one last class to teach. You'll have the leadership class instead.
Okay.
Well, all he did was take those kids that would have been in that class and shove them into the other class. So I had more students.
Okay, instead of less.
You know, or even, just even amount. But leadership really gave an opportunity to see some pretty elite kids who really wanted to make West Dubuque a better place.
It was great stuff.
And that's where our saying, every Bobcat matter, comes from.
Yeah.
Was that class. And
yeah.
I'll still see kids today who say that was the best class they had. Because they actually got to make West Dubuque better.
Right.
You know, and they came up with so many ideas of simple things.
To do that brainstorming, you know.
Yeah, and simple things. Like, you know, like a quiz at lunch for kids at the table, or celebrating birthdays, and just simple things like that.
I remember we started the Veterans Day.
Veterans Day Assembly was part of that, yeah. Senior Survivor, where the whole school gets involved in that. You know, they got start with 12 kids and get down to one, but really the whole school is involved, because they, you know, they have to buy shirts to support their people, and the best part is the money raised goes to the charity that they choose.
Okay.
Instead of having one charity, which maybe three-quarters of the people don't even know, you know, each kid gets to recognize a charity that they're pretty supportive of, and more people... You don't make as much money for one charity, but you still make as much donations, just spread out different.
Yeah.
You know. And homecoming and...
After prom.
Post-prom, which I think is an advantage at Western Dubuque, that the kids still run that. A lot of schools, the parents take over.
Yeah.
Well, then the ownership isn't there, the development of it. You know, our kids get a chance to...
Yeah.
You know, hey, this is something you can work on together, because it's for you. Instead of parents doing everything, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah. I'll never forget the year we, you know, we always had prizes, and we always collected them beforehand and put them in that storeroom on the main hallway there. And one year, I don't know what happened, but we wound up giving away all of the FFA toys.
Well, they're in the wrong place, right?
So, Al Carlson wasn't very happy about that, but whatever.
Well, West Dubuque is a special place, and it continues to be. There's some been great people hired, and
I was impressed when we had the luncheon last year. You know, where the retired people came back, and I thought, yeah, this is a pretty good group of faculty.
Yeah, and that all came back in our earlier days. We always had a dinner at the end of the year, and we brought them back. And when I retired, I said, that was pretty cool to see people who had built, you know.
Yeah.
And so I said, let's do it. Well, we had to buy them lunch, but
oh, yeah,
we got her done. And I think Coach Penner and Coach Cleary and Miss Gansen, who kind of replaced what I did, or, you know, were part of.
Yeah.
They've really done a great job of making sure they know the tradition of West Dubuque, and it's just not me all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot of groundwork. I think Penner does a really good job of that.
And good stuff. Okay.
You know, and like you yourself, just doing this for making sure people realize, you know.
It is a lot of fun because you get to rehash a lot of memories and hear things that, you know, anyway.